for the victory. Amen. I hope you know that victory today. I hope you get to walk in that victory. I hope you live in that victory. I hope it's not just a song that you sing, but I hope it is a life that you get to embrace. I hope there's an attitude you get to that holds you up. I hope that it's a mantra, if you will, that gets you through your day. Because I know sometimes life don't feel like victory. Amen? Sometimes it just feels like a struggle. But praise God that even in our struggle, we still have victory. Amen. Amen. Today we are going to bring to a conclusion our series that we've been working through called The 90%. And the idea here is that many of you have probably heard a sermon by a pastor like me that has been telling you that you need to give a tithe to the church, right? You ought to be giving your 10%, right? That's what by faith you ought to be doing. But my question is that what are we supposed to do with the other 90%? Like, doesn't that mean something too? Like, doesn't it all belong to God? Like, what are we supposed to do with that part of it? And then it just got me thinking, well, even beyond just like money and finances and budgets and whatnot, we come and we might worship on a Sunday morning and maybe we give that 10% of our time, but what about the other 90% of our time? Like, doesn't that belong to God as well? Like, what should that look like? And so over this month, we have been looking into what would it look like if we gave God the 90% as well? What would it look like if we weren't just giving him part of our lives, but we were giving him everything? And so here in just a moment, I'm going to pray. After that, we're going to get into Luke chapter 21. And so would really encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn there and we'll work through some verses. But before I read that, let me just pray here this morning. God, we thank you so much for your presence here among us. We thank you, Father, that you are here. God, I thank you that no matter what we have come with, you still have a word for us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be able to focus ourselves on you right now. Whatever might be distracting us, God, I pray that you would just remove it from our minds, that your Holy Spirit might have your way in us. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, Father, that your message would be proclaimed in this place. For Lord, I trust that you are providing daily bread even now, Lord, and I put my faith in you, that you are providing even as I speak. We glorify you, God, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 1, and eventually we're going to kind of go back and catch the end of chapter 20, and we'll move around here a little bit. But these four verses here in Luke chapter 21 is where we're going to focus our attention here today. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. It's interesting to me, in living in Kentucky for a little while, I came to learn about Derby Day. Many in Texas could care less about Derby Day. You may not even know when it is. So the Kentucky Derby is a horse race, which is considered to be the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. If you consider animals running around a circle as a sport, then that's so. Derby Day is the first Saturday in May, and what's amazing about this is that while it only takes 2 minutes for this race to start and finish, There's so much that is talked about in this race, and because it's the first race of the Triple Crown. If you don't win the Kentucky Derby, you can't win the next two races that come after it, the Preakness and the Belmont, and so like, but if you win like all of these races, there's like horse. You become sort of some sort of horse superhero. Like, seriously, it's amazing. They name roads after you and all this kind of stuff. It's amazing. People lose their minds all over the place, all because of this race. Now, one of the things that I learned a little bit about, let me be real clear about this. I know absolutely nothing about horse racing. What you're about to hear me say is the extent of the knowledge that I have about anything in regard to a horse at all. But I came to discover, see, while I don't know anything about anything, I can see real good. And I noticed that some of the horses would wear these like contraptions on their heads that they refer to as blinders. Yeah. Which again, I find that curious that horses that should see where they're going are wearing blinders. That seems odd to me. But the idea is that it takes away the peripheral vision of the horse, so the horse can just focus on what is directly in front. And so, like, for example, if you're racing with 20 other horses around this circle, and you've got all kinds of mud and everything else kicking up all around you, it might be helpful for the horse to not see all of the extra and just be able to focus on, like, where it's supposed to go, right? That's the idea. What I find interesting is how Jesus tends to have these blinders that it seems like he's wearing so many times. There are things that he sees that we are just too distracted by all the other horses to see, I think, you know? And he, like, it's like he's so laser focused on these certain things. It's like it was there the whole time, but we would have never seen it without him calling it out, right? Now, what's interesting is, like, we can see this in Jesus, and particularly here with this widow who gave his offering, right? The disciples were all looking at those that were giving, you know, their offerings out of their wealth. It doesn't say how much they were giving. It doesn't say they were doing it, with a whole bunch of arrogance or anything like that, right? But they were giving out of their wealth. And here comes this woman that was, I would assume, not much to look at, right? It just describes her as a poor widow. And she brings her offering here. And somehow in the midst of all the noise of those that are bringing all their offerings, Jesus, like, locks in on this lady, right? And makes her out to be, like, this giving superhero, which is pretty cool. Now, fascinating to me is that Jesus is having this whole conversation with the disciples, of which this woman has no idea that she is the subject of their conversation. She's just given to give, right? But Jesus is just locked in on this woman and the fact that she didn't give much, but she gave everything. Now, we can see that and we think, oh man, like, Jesus, you're so wise, you're so amazing, like, you see things that the rest of us don't see, and you, like, bring it to light, like, how did I not see that before? But what's really interesting is we all wear blinders, right? We do. We all have ways in which that we kind of shield out certain things in order that we can focus ourselves in a certain way. Now, our blinders are not always lined up with Jesus' blinders, right? Sometimes he sees some things that we don't see, but we all have them, and our blinders are influenced by so many different things. Our blinders could be influenced by our history, right? So because of some experiences that we've had, we choose not to see certain things that are happening around us, but rather we're going to focus in on just this one part that maybe we feel like doesn't get into the history we really don't want to see anymore. right? We're blinders according to particularly in regard to the story we're reading here, in regard to our financial status, right? So if I don't have a certain amount of money, well then I have closed myself out to these other possibilities and options because I don't have enough money to do all that. I don't have the influence for all of that. There's no way I could do certain things because I don't have the cash on hand to be able to do that. So I've limited myself down to this is what I can do. But the truth is that even as we look at ourselves, I think sometimes we have limited ourselves down as well. Well, because of the skill level that I see that I have, because of the way I either like or dislike talking to people, because of the way that I speak, because of where I grew up, because of the demons that I fight with, because of the temptations that I struggle with, because of all the ways that I know that I don't measure up, I take all of these, the infinite possibilities of what God could do in my life, and I narrow it all down into this one little thing that if God was going to do something in my life, it would have to be like this because there's no way he could do anything else. And so we blind ourselves to all these different possibilities that God might have for us. What I want us to do today is to find ways that we can begin to shed the blinders that are keeping us from everything that God would have us to do and to be, and take on the blinders that Jesus would have us to use to focus ourselves where he would have us to be. Like, for example, a couple of months ago, I was at an appreciation service for a good friend of mine, and Pastor Anthony Perrette, who's the pastor at Dominion Christian Center, it's a Church of God congregation down in Houston's Fifth Ward. He was given a sort of a devotion, if you will, before the offering time there. He actually read this scripture, and he made a point there that I thought was just immensely profound. And so I don't want you to imagine that the Lord downloaded this to me at all. This was his download. I'm just stealing it from him. But he said he found it very, very interesting that Jesus was, that what Jesus paid attention to was not what people gave, but what they had left. Isn't that interesting? That just blew me away right there, right? That Jesus was not so concerned with what it was that people gave, but he was so much more concerned with what they had left. See, this woman was this giving superhero, not because she dropped like $1 million into this offering, but she was the giving superhero because there was nothing else to give. Like, she was out. She was done. Like, if she wanted to give more, she couldn't. Right? She had nothing left. She trusted everything that she had to God. Now, it is interesting here because there are so many questions that I have at this point, right? Of like, well, did she live with family? You know what I mean? It says she was a widow, so obviously she doesn't have a husband, but did she have like a son or something like that was providing for her? Was the church taking care of her? Like, what, was there some sort of like, was she just like an independently wealthy widow that just happened to only have two copper coins in her pocket that day? What's interesting about all this though is, there are no extra details that are given, just that she had nothing left to give, right? Yet, all these other people who, mind you, were being obedient to God, it's not like they were being disobedient in their giving, right? Jesus was not condemning them for giving, right? But when they got done giving, they still had money to give. And that's what Jesus noticed, was that they still had something left, and she gave everything. Now, what I find interesting about this is that what Jesus saw in this woman actually positioned her to have a tremendous amount of impact for the kingdom of God. Think about this. What she didn't have actually positioned her to be more influential than anything she could have had. Right? Watch this. There was a whole mess of people who gave out of their wealth and gave so much more than she did. None of us know anything about them, and none of us even care about them if we're really being honest, right? All they are is people with money at the temple. That's all that they are. But this woman here, because even though she was in a position where she did not have much, what she didn't have actually positioned her to have a tremendous impact in the kingdom of God, because we are still celebrating her today. Now, here's what I want you to get in all this, and we're going to kind of flesh this out as we go here as well in a couple of other ways. But we can all look at ourselves and see all of the things that we don't have, right? It might not just be money. It might be that job that you want. It might be a particular social status, right? It might be there's all kinds of different things that we look at ourselves and understand there's so much that we don't have or that we're not good at. But what I want you to recognize today is that when Jesus sees you, he does not see what you do not have. He sees what you have left. And if you would just dare to let Jesus have what you don't have, he's going to use that and leverage that to influence the kingdom through you. That don't even make sense, does it? So Jesus is going to take what you don't have, and if you give him what you don't have, he's going to take that lack in your life. He's going to flip that thing upside down and use it for his glory and for his kingdom in spite of you. Amen. See, what the good news here is, like, and this is, I hope y'all are taking this in right now, like, you don't have to be enough. Amen. Praise God. Like, you don't have to be enough. Like, it's okay if you look at yourself and you see that you are lacking in some ways, because Jesus can overcome every way in which you might lack. Anything that you're not good at, Jesus is able to compensate for those things. Like, whatever it is that you look down on yourself about, Jesus, in his love and his grace, can actually use that, can leverage that to make a tremendous impact for his kingdom and for his glory. The question is, are we going to hold it for ourselves, or are we going to let that go to him? What are we still holding on to? See, the observation that Pastor Perrette made is that Jesus' focus is not on what people gave, but on what they had left. So many times we are holding on to the things that we have left are the things that are keeping us from doing and being everything that Jesus died on the cross for us to do and to be. What if we just gave that to him? What if instead of pretending like we don't have doubt, what if we just acknowledged the doubt that we have, submitted that to Jesus, and let him have it? Like, let him work on that in our lives. Like, what if all of the ways that we see ourselves as insufficient, what if instead of trying to make ourselves better through all the self-help books and all those kinds of things, what if instead of just trying to make ourselves better, we just actually surrendered that to Jesus and said, you know what? Even if I'm not great in this area, even if I'm not perfect, even if I don't have what I think would be really nice to have, like, if you just surrendered that to him, how might he be able to change that whole thing in your life? Here on February 9th, just in a couple of weeks, we're going to get to celebrate the launch day for Merge Church up in Conroe. many of you are not going to be here to celebrate with us, and that's okay. That's all right, because you're going to be there. And I just want to celebrate the fact that when we had Pastor Ephraim down here and everything, we had about 35 people who said we're going to go to Merge, and we're going to help get this thing kicked off right. And we've got I think probably about half of that group has said, you know what, I'm going to go for launch Sunday, but I'm going to stay for a few weeks, right? Some are staying up to 8 weeks to help serve there and help get that thing going. And I just say, praise God for that. Amen. However, we are still having worship services here as well. Amen. I appreciate the nervous laughter there. Amen. We are still conducting children's ministry here as well. Amen. Praise God. Right? We are still going to have a worship team. We're still going to have a tech team. Like, we're still there's still all kinds of stuff that still needs to happen to make everything on a Sunday morning happen. And I know that for some people, you might think to yourself, well, you know, I'd love to serve in some way, but I just really don't think that's for me. I don't know that I'd be very good at that. I don't know that I could really help. I don't really know if there's a way that I could help even. You know what? What if instead of having those blinders on that just eliminate all these possibilities of what could be? What if you just took those blinders off and said, "You know what, Lord, if you need me to help serve in some way while these 35 people are up and merged, like, God, I'm going to just make myself available." Right? It's really not the scariest thing in the world, but I know it can feel that way sometimes. Particularly for those who might be fairly new to the congregation, you might think, well, I really haven't worshipped here long enough, or I don't really know if they'd really want me to help or anything like that, or, you know, those kinds of things. Like, now, mind you, if you're going to work with the kids, you do have to pass a background check, so if you can't do that, please don't sign up for it. I'm just being honest, all right? No, but for real, though, like, I know there's a lot of things where it's like, well, you know, I know that there's a need there, but I don't know, that's just... What if instead of having the blinders on, we just said, you know what, Pastor Tim, Pastor Sarah, Pastor David, whoever, like, if you need me to help, just let me know, and I'll help. You tell me where you need the help. You tell me where you think I'd fit best. I know that could sound scary, but that's a really practical way that you could take the blinders off and just let the Lord work in your life. That's a way that you could give the 90%. I know right now that the 10% that you're giving might be sitting here. And don't get me wrong, I praise God that you're here. I praise God that you're under his word. I praise God that you're among the fellowship of the saints today. Like, that's a big deal. It really is. But what if you went beyond that 10% of your time and your energy and everything? And what if you went that next step to give that 90% to say, you know what, I'll serve however you need me to serve. That's cool. Just let me know. I'm scared to death, but let me know. Right? If that's you, I do want to encourage you. You've got those yes cards on the seat back in front of you and everything. I'd love for you just to put your name on there and say, Pastor Tim, I'll help where you need me. I'm asking you to write me a blank check, right? Amen. Now, you might also say, you know what, I would enjoy helping in this area or that area or whatever, and that's fine, unless you're saying that because you don't want to do something else. And you're like, Lord, no, please, not that, right? But maybe that's something you could do to shed the blinders and really give everything, not just as one who is taking in of the Word of God on a Sunday morning, but also helping to serve and helping others to receive that Word as well. You know, we talk a lot about being disciples that make disciples around here as well, and that might be another area where you could kind of bring the blinders down. You know, sometimes we really get in this train of thought that well, I just need to focus on how I can grow closer to the Lord, and I'm gonna be here for worship. I'm gonna hear from God, and whatever it is that Pastor Tim has to say, and I'm gonna really try to grow closer to him. But what if What if part of taking the blinders off is just you saying, you know what, I am gonna grow. I am going to be intentional about my own personal growth, but I'm also going to be intentional about talking to somebody else. I'm going to be intentional about building a relationship with somebody specifically to help them grow closer to the Lord as well. And maybe it's somebody you already have a relationship with, right? But maybe it's just a matter of sort of tweaking that intentionality to where you're not just getting together for coffee and talking about whatever's happening in your family, but you actually like get together and talk about like what the Lord is doing in your life and what the Lord can be doing in their lives. And you know what I'm saying? Like I realize that for many of us that might be a totally different way of looking at things, right? Like church has always been this thing where we just show up and we find our seat and we sing the songs, if we sing songs, right? And then we listen to that guy ramble on for a little while so that we can go home and eat our lunch, right? But what if instead of just being narrowed down to that, what if we took off the blinders to say, you know what? Church could be a place where I belong, where I'm among the saved, the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, where I don't just come to consume from God, but where I could actually make an impact in others as well. And I could recognize that church is not a building that I go to, but church is who I am. And so even when I'm not in this building, I can share the love of God with others. I can study the Word of God with people outside of this building. Lord, have mercy. Like, what if there were people that would never walk into this place that you could minister to? But if all we see is, well, I just got to show up, I got to check the boxes, and I got to get on out of here, then we're never going to walk into that kind of opportunity, right? Let me keep going here. I actually want to go back to chapter 20, verse 45. Because there's, before and after this story about the widow, there's these two things that come up that are just, it's just interesting sort of sandwich here that we've got. And so I want to just read these for you real quick. Luke chapter 20, verses starting in verse 45. Says, while all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Okay, let me sit here for just a minute and then we'll read this next section. It's intriguing to me that Jesus looks past the motivation that should be there, and he actually sees the motivation that is, right? And there's sort of a backwards way that we need to make sure that we're seeing this here, right? So the idea, there's a reason why the teachers of the law and the teachers of the law wore certain things, and it wasn't just because they were people of high esteem. It was the wardrobe that they had was supposed to have a certain significance in drawing people's attention to God. And what actually ended up happening was they would wear these things, and again, each element of their wardrobe was supposed to be a reminder of Scripture and of the promises of God and of who God was and how God was active in their lives. And like all of this is in their wardrobe. And so like if you would ask the teachers of the law, like, oh, why do you have this on? They would be able to tell you, oh, well, this is because of this particular Scripture and it points toward God. But what it became was like this lofty way of walking around, right? Like it became a uniform for demanded respect, which I don't know if you've ever had someone demand respect out of you, but it usually doesn't go very well, right? Usually respect is something that you give to somebody because you want to, not because they tell you you have to, right? But it's become this thing where when they walk in the room because they look so stately and everything, well, then you should just part out of the way and let them go to the place of honor. And Jesus says they gotta, their motivation, like you might see, like your blinders might be fixed on what the motivation should be, but Jesus saw what the motivation really was. Now, here's what's awesome about this, and this is why I get so excited about this, and why I needed to sit here for just a minute before I get on to the next scripture, and that is, that you might not have like really ornamental things to wear when you show up on a Sunday morning or any other day of the week for that matter, right? You might show up at a party and nobody even knows you walked in the door. Right? You might show up and nobody's coming to you like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, wanted to catch up with you and la-di-da-di-da, whatever, right? Like, that, you might show up and nobody, you're still invisible when you're there. But watch this. Because it is not the motivation that should be, but the motivation that is that matters to Jesus. Because the world will tell you that if people can't see you, you might as well just go away. The world will tell you that if people can't see you, like if you don't have some sort of status on social media in one way or another, you probably just shouldn't even be on there, right? Like just stop bothering people and everything. That people don't want to be bothered by your life. Like if you don't have something that people are going to ooh and ah over, if you can just keep your mouth shut because it's really kind of annoying for us to listen to, like that is what our world would tell us. However, it is not about us being some sort of social influencers, but rather, if we might actually be motivated by God's Holy Spirit in our lives to make an impact for our kingdom, then it matters not. Not, I'm sorry. Let me clarify that because I just caught what I said right there. We are submitted to God's Holy Spirit for His kingdom, not for our kingdom. Woo, that could have been real. That could have been real confusing for you. No, if we would actually be motivated by God's Holy Spirit in us to live for His kingdom, then it doesn't matter if anybody notices us when we walk in the room. The only thing that matters is that we are submitted to Him, because when we submit ourselves to Him, He's going to bring us into places that we could never get into on our own. Like, He's going to bring us into relationships with people that we would have never met otherwise. Like when we actually submit ourselves to God, like, He takes care of all that, and all we have to do is be faithful, right? Like, that's the good news here, is it's not about what our motivation should be, it's about what our motivation is. And even if our motivation is not dictated by the status we have, we can still submit to God, and He can still work in and through us. Let me get on to this next part here. Luke 21, again, going to the other side of the story in regard to the widow now. Luke 21, verses 5 and 6. Says, so again, this is, at least in scripture anyway, it appears to be right after Jesus had this conversation about the widow. It says, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Jesus doesn't just see what is. Jesus sees what will be. Now, there's a couple of ways that I really need us to come at this, because I heard something on the radio this past week in regard to, they were talking about maturity, right? Spiritual maturity in particular, but they were just talking about maturity. They were talking about how when you have a maturity about you, then when hard times come, they really don't shake you, yeah. Right? Yeah. But that when there is an immaturity there, in other words, a place still, a room to grow in maturity, that when hard times come, or sometimes even when things that aren't really all that hard might, maybe it's just a change. It's not anything hard, but sometimes it's just a change. That if there's an immaturity there, sometimes it can completely derail us from what we're doing and what we ought to be doing. See, Jesus doesn't just see what is, but He sees what will be. And we would benefit so much if we could find a way to put these kind of blinders on us the way that Jesus has for us as well. He is not fazed by our struggle. He is not fazed by our lack. He still sees what we are becoming and who we will be, even if we're not there yet. And if we would just dare to stop being overwhelmed by everything that's coming at us now, we might also be able to walk into everything that we are designed to be. Here's why this is really, really important. Because if Jesus is saying this about the temple, right? The temple that God gave instruction to David for how to build this temple, right? Yet we find ourselves in a building, great as it is. I don't think that the Lord spoke down the dimensions of this building. I could be wrong. I wasn't there when it happened. I wasn't there. I guess what I'm saying is, like, what do we do if the next explosion is this building? Like, seriously, if this past week it wasn't the manufacturing plant that blew up, but it was, I don't know, something went crazy around here, right? Don't put it past the Lord, right? Who knows what he could do? And what if Sunday morning comes and this building is not here anymore? What happens next week and next month and next year? Because it's going to take a while to rebuild. It's not going to happen in a little bit. Like, I mean, you can drive past the manufacturing plant out there. It's going to take them a while to put anything back, if they put anything back, right? Where does that leave us? Like, if this building isn't here, are we still the church? You know what I'm saying? I get it. The Sunday school answer is yes, we are. Jesus God 40. I get it. Yeah, no, we got those answers. No, I get it. But for real, like if this building isn't here, like, do you have, like, are you still saying yes to Jesus and the mission that he has for you? If the building isn't here, if we don't have music to, if we don't have a stage, if we don't have songs to sing, if we don't have a place to meet like this, are we still going to be on mission for God, or are we just going to be defeated? Like, oh Lord, like, why have you allowed this to happen to us? This is going to sound sort of weird, but sometimes I kind of think it would be the best thing in the world if this building would just blow up. I know it sounds weird. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, if this building goes down, please don't blame it on me. Like, I know this is being recorded. I don't have any plans for anything here. All I'm saying is that sometimes we can get so wrapped up in just what we have focused ourselves down into seeing as this is what church is. And it just makes me wonder, like, if all this went away, like, where would we be? Like, Jesus told the disciples, yeah, that temple that you see that is so amazing, that was designed by God himself, is going to be rubble one of these days. It's going to be rubble. Well, where is the disciples' faith going to be when that happens? What are all these Jewish people going to do when there's no temple? Like, that's where they're supposed to go worship God. If there's no temple, then what do they do? Let me just say this. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. Even in you, God sees some things for your future that you don't see right now. There are some things that, Lord help me. There are some things that you might be adorned with right now that may very well someday come to rubble. And even still, Jesus was telling his disciples that the church was going to rise up. They didn't need the temple to grow his kingdom. We have so many things in our lives that might distract us from what it is that Jesus is really calling us to do and to be, right? We measure ourselves and we compare ourselves to other people and we think, oh, well, just like that widow, I'm not able to give as much as that other person is. This thing probably doesn't mean much of anything to God. But if we would just dare to say, you know what, Lord, I don't have much of anything, but whatever I have, I'm going to leave from you empty-handed. I might not have much, God, but I'm going to just put that in front of you, and you do what you want to do with it, but I'm leaving empty-handed, and I'm going to trust you with it each step of the way. Because whether the building is here or not, I'm yours. Whether Pastor Tim is here or not, I'm yours. Whether life is good or it's a struggle, I'm yours. Whether work is good or I don't have it, I'm yours. Whether there's money in the bank or not, like, I'm yours. Like, whether my health is good or not, I'm yours. Like what God is looking for from us is not people who would just come and just give a little bit in order to say, yep, I showed up and I checked the box and I'm on my way. No, what God is looking for, he's asking us even now, like, what are we doing with our everything? What are we doing with the 90%? Because that belongs to him too. And if we would just take the blinders off and just say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. What could God do in your life, right? I know that for many of you, that could sound really, really scary. And you might even think to yourself, well, that's just, there's no way in the world that God could make that kind of change in me. That's part of the reason you may have noticed the wristband that I had on. There's a few others that have these wristbands on too. They just simply say, God is able. And I'm telling you right now, there are probably not three more encouraging yet frightening words in all the earth than God is able. Because if we believe that God is able, then while it's encouraging to know that there is no such thing as a dead end for us. God can make any situation his, and he can turn anything that is lacking into abundance for his glory. But that also means that we might need to shed some things of our own too. We might need to take off some blinders. We might need to let God do whatever he wants in us. We might need to get a yes card out for him and just say, Lord, however you want to use me, however you want me to submit to you, whatever you want my life to look like, whether it's my design or not, God, I know you're able, and so I'm going to submit to you. Stand with me, please, if you would. We're going to sing a couple of songs here, and as we do, I want to invite you to come to an altar of prayer if you'd like. Maybe there's something that God is challenging you with even now that he's telling you, you know what? You got these blinders on. You need to shed these blinders. And maybe you just want to come and, like, physically humble yourself at an altar of prayer and say, God, I know I need to let go of these blinders, Lord. Take them off of me that I might just submit to you fully. Maybe you just want to get together with somebody right next to you there and just say, hey, I need you to pray for me because I know I need to take these blinders off, but I don't know how to start. I don't know what to do. I don't know that first step to take. Maybe you just pull the person beside you and say, pray for me. Maybe you just want to come up here. I got a whole basket full of these wristbands up here. Maybe you just want to come up and say, you know what? I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I know that he's able, and so I'm going to just trust Jesus to make that difference in my life. I'm going to let him do whatever he wants to do in me. Whatever it is, submit yourself to him right now. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. That widow was not disappointed that she gave everything that she had because her God was good enough to give it all. And I'm pretty sure that if somebody gave her two more copper coins, she probably would have headed right back to the temple. What are you doing with the copper coins you have? How are you submitting everything to him today?